Welcome to the Lucius Lyron Podcast, where we dive deep into the mysteries of the universe and our place in it. I'm your host, Lucius Lyron, and today is a special day. We are in Taurus season, baby. That's right. Taurus season is here, and we're going to talk about something really cool. I just had a birthday, so being in this energy has been nice. And as I'm actually doing this recording, today is actually the full moon. Happy full moon energy to everyone that is listening and tuning in, or if you're watching this video on my YouTube channel. But yeah, so we're going to get into some feminine energy with us being in Taurus season. And today I'm going to be speaking about the creator of all, and that is the great mother goddess. So this is going to be a really fun episode. I'm sure you guys will definitely be enjoying this episode. It might pique some interest because this is a topic that a lot of people really don't speak on as much as you would think. Even though I feel like with some people, because they don't want to disrupt some of the masculine energy that may be out on the planet. And you do have some women that are definitely unaware of it. And we try to do this whole thing of not wanting to hurt anyone's like feelings. But for me, I consider myself to be a scientist, and I like to deal with things that are blatantly obvious, even within nature, because you're not going to have a lot of men talk about this because they are just as confused as everyone else. And we have a lot of controlled information happening a lot on this planet. And pay homage to the great mother this episode. And I'm thinking what I might do is, because I'm going to be actually reading from a chapter of my book that's actually dedicated to this particular topic and also dedicated to the great mother, that, you know, probably the next few podcast episodes will be just the continuation of this one. Because, yeah, we're in Taurus energy, and Taurus energy, there's a lot of feminine fertility type energy, also with the masculine as well, but very heavily with Venus being the ruler of the bull and stuff. So the mother of the bull. So, yeah, we're going to dive deep into this subject because it is of the utmost importance. And we're gonna dive into this. So let me just pull up my information. We can get started on this. And I wrote a little paragraph in the beginning of this that is just so in tune with the shift in energy moving from the age of Pisces and going into the age of Aquarius, and how Aquarius has a lot to do with the feminine principle coming back to her rightful place. This is something that has been truly distorted, and we're going to get into this whole thing. So I want to just read this part to you. It says that the strongest and most powerful thing in the world is also the softest, which is water, and water represents the feminine. Now, as we can tell through science, that when scientists are trying to look for signs of life, what is the number one thing that they look for? If there's water. Interesting. Interesting that in this patriarchal society, in order to understand what and who the life giver is, we have to find water. This is why everything is birthed out of water. This is why we are birthed out of the womb, being created in water. So keep that in mind. All right, let's dive into this information. Okay, so in the beginning, the first environment for all new life was female. The physical, emotional, spiritual body of the mother and the communal body of young girls, grown women, older women working together. When hunting and gathering people move, the infant is carried bound close to the mother's body. When they settle, the woman from an inner circle like campsite of women and children, the socialization process begins here. I always experience my art as what can be only described as a mystic grounded process, or some people may call it more like shamanic, but in respect to our indigenous people, I will refer this as being a grounded mystic. Entering into a state of being or mind where knowledge is available from past, present, and future. This way of knowing belongs to the lunar goddess, who is both dark and light. She is of the dark nights and inner radiant light, like that of the moon, who gives us dreams and illumination. Very interesting, like I just stated before I started reading this, was that today is the full moon. Okay, so the lunar goddess is here today. And what's interesting too about, we're saying knowledge is available from past, present, and future. It also reminds me, I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Dune movies at all, or even have read the Dune books. I haven't read the books, but I've watched the movies. And after watching, especially like the remake of these movies, it makes me really want to go in and dive into the books as well. But something that happened in the movie where they drink what they call the water of life, and only really the women could drink it, but there is a chosen that is able to drink this water of life, and they're able to see the past, present, and future. So it's very interesting that something that's been documented in the records of Earth, I'm not going to even say history, but in the records of Earth, this was something in our matriarchal societies in the beginning was a very female sea. For 2.5 billion years on Earth, all life forms floated in the womb-like environment of the planetary ocean, nourished and protected by its fluid chemicals, rocked by the lunar tidal rhythms. Charles Darwin believed the menstrual cycle originated here, organically echoing the moon pulse of the sea. And because this longest period of life's time on Earth was dominated by marine forms reproducing parthenogenically, he concluded that the female principle was primordial. Okay? So for all you men out there, Charles Darwin said this, okay? Go do your homework. Go do your research. He said this. In the beginning, life did not gestate within the body of any creature, but within the ocean womb containing all organic life. There were no specialized sex organs, rather a generalized female essence reproduced itself within the female body of the sea. Before more complex life forms could develop and moor onto land, it was necessary to miniaturize the oceanic environment to reproduce it on a small and mobile scale. Soft, moist eggs deposited on dry ground and exposed to air would die. Life could not move beyond the water, hugging amphibian state. In the course of evolution, the ocean, the protective and nourishing space of the, I believe it's pronounced amniotic fluids, even the lunar tidal rhythm was transferred into the individual female body. And the penis, a mechanical device for land reproduction, evolved. The penis first appeared in the age of reptiles about 200 million years ago. Our archetypal association of the snake with the phallus contains no doubt this genetic memory. That is very interesting that the first sign of a male happened in the age of reptiles. Okay, that's really interesting. This is a fundamental and reoccurring pattern in nature. Life is a female environment in which the male appears, often periodically and created by the female to perform highly specialized tasks related to species reproduction and a more complex evolution. Now, this is what's interesting. And this is also cool, too, because I get to interject within this writing for you guys and stuff so you can even start to understand and understand how this also plays out just for us humans. Two things is the oldest bones found in Africa was actually a female's bones. And then what was the other thing I was going to say outside of that? I just lost what I was about to say, but yeah. So the oldest bone is female. And so we clearly stated that. And I just remember the other second confirmation of knowing that is also in the Sumerian tablets. When Enki and some of the other Anunnaki beings, especially the female Anunnaki, there was a being that was female that they utilized to basically create us, to create humans and stuff by using a particular female that was already here. That's why that whole thing in the Bible of that whole Adam being first, the first human, it's definitely not true. Definitely not a true story. That's more mythos than anything, because we can see not only scientifically, but also those that came before us also wrote the fact that there was a female here that we are, you know, connected to within our DNA, along with the Anunnaki DNA. But we'll get into that part a little later. Okay, so a freshwater crust ocean produces several generations of females by parthenogenesis. I could be pronouncing that wrong. The egg and its own polar body mate to form a complete set of genes for a female offspring. Once annually, at the end of the year cycle, a short-lived male group is produced. The males specialize in manufacturing leathery egg cases able to survive the winter. Among honeybees, the drone group is produced and regulated to the sterile daughter workers and the fertile queen. Drones exist to mate with the queen. An average of 7 drones per hive accomplish this act each season, and then the entire male group is destroyed by the workers. And I think this is the part that scares men. Obviously, this is not within the human species, but in certain other species groups that's here on the planet, this is what happens. And I feel like the men who had to rewrite a lot of our information that we once had long ago was afraid of how powerful the feminine energy is. And instead of having respect and paying homage to the feminine energy, fear had gripped a hold, and which really took it into a very dark and sinister type of mindset towards females. Among the tail lizards in the American Southwest, 4 species are parthenogenic. Males are unknown among the desert grasslands plateau, and the, I believe it's pronounced the Chihuahua whiptails, and have been found only rarely among the checker whiptails. Among mammals, even among humans, parthenogenesis is not technically impossible. Every female egg contains a polar body with a complete set of chromosomes. The polar body and the egg, if united, could form a daughter embryo. In fact, ovarian cysts are unfertilized eggs that have joined with their polar bodies. Being implanted in the ovarian wall and started to develop there. This is not to say that males are an unnecessary sex, okay? Which, that's what I was stating back when we was talking about the beast. And I think this is, like I said, this is the part men get caught up in. Was, look, it's not that we're not important or anything like that. And I think that's where the immaturity happens in our society, especially with adults. We need to stop being immature about certain information, because this is going to help us and help us bring more balance to this planet, which is very important. And it's really the transition that humanity is going into, is having to relearn everything. And I think people are afraid to have been wrong about stuff. And one thing I can tell you, that the universe outside of human thinking, Earth, the whole right, wrong, good or bad, that is just human concepts. That doesn't exist outside of here. And we have to be okay with the fact that we've been taught things wrong, or we misunderstood certain things. And it's okay to go back and revisit information. This is all part of growth. And if we can't be mature enough to do this, then what the hell are we doing then? Like, seriously, what are we really doing? Just being like, I don't want to, because that means that my grandmother was wrong and my parents were wrong. Who cares? We have an opportunity to heal all human generations, because all the DNA lives within inside of us. But when you look at it in a narrow-minded perspective, how would you ever even think about that? This is such a wake-up call for all of us to having to relearn things all over again. And it's okay. Years ago, I had to be okay with having to relearn stuff. And because of that, this is why the universe constantly keeps showing me things, because I'm okay with being wrong. And we all have to be that way. All right. Parthenogenesis is a natural cloning process. Okay. Now we're getting into natural cloning. Okay. So it's a natural cloning process, sexual reproduction, which enhances the variety and health of the gene pool, is necessary for the kind of complex evolution that has produced the human race as a species. The point being made here is simply that when it comes to the two sexes, one of us has been around a lot longer than the other. Facts. I just got done telling you that the female has been around here the longest. It's the oldest bones that we have found in Africa. The oldest bones, not a man. This is why, when it comes to just science, everything, and why science is important, and why science needs to merge with also the spiritual aspect, is so that we can understand this, okay? Because whenever you do like a DNA test, I don't know if any of you guys ever done a DNA test. I have. And you start to realize that if you want to go back further of how long humans have been around, and especially like modern day humans, you have to trace back the female. The female is the only one that can give both the daughter and the son the X chromosome. Only the mother can do that. The father can't do that. So that's why only males can trace back their Y generation, because only the male can do that. Okay. So even if you are a female and you want to find out your father's lineage, you're only going to find out your father's mother's lineage. You're not going to find out the Y lineage at all, because it doesn't work like that. So it makes a lot of sense why, when you read like the Bible and other different texts, that it was so important for men to have a son, because unconsciously, without even knowing any of this information I just told you, when it comes to DNA and how chromosomes and how information is being passed down from the father to the son, this is why men want to have a son, because this is the only way biologically that a Y chromosome can be passed down. It doesn't get passed down to the daughter. Okay, so that's something that you would think books like the Bible and other books would actually state that, but there's the natural scientific reason of why men do that. And that has to do with the fact of unconsciously knowing that their Y chromosome only gets passed down to the son. So biologically, it's natural for a man to want to have a son because that's how the Y chromosome survives. Okay, so keep that in mind. All right. In The Nature of Evolution, Female Sexuality by Mary Jane, I believe it's pronounced Scherfey, described her discovery in 1961 of something called the inductor theory. The inductor theory stated that all mammal embryos, male and female, are anatomically female during the early stages of fetal life. Mary wondered why this theory had been buried in the medical literature since 1951, completely ignored by the profession. The men who made this her story-making discovery simply did not want it to be true. Mary pioneered the discussion of the inductor theory, and now, with modifications based on further data, its findings are accepted as facts of mammals, including human development. And that's very true. Any of you guys can go and go to Google and you can type in the stages of when we are created in the womb. And you can see that we are literally all females into a natural transition happens within the womb where the female turns into a male. Okay. That happens naturally in the womb. So that's something to keep in mind. As Stephen Jay, believe last name is pronounced Gowlett. I'm probably butchering that. And by the way, guys, I'm noticing with some of these like scientists, man, their last names be tripping me out sometimes. But anyway, it describes it. The embryo in his first 8 weeks, I was about to get into that. In the first 8 weeks is an indifferent creature with bisexual potential. In the eighth week, if a Y chromosome bearing sperm fuses with the egg, the gonads will develop into testes, which secrete androgen, which in turn induces male genitalia to develop. In the absence of androgen, the embryo develops into a female. Okay? This is science, guys. Scientific facts. Why are we so scared of science? This is why, because we want to believe whatever we want to believe and not focus on the facts and have respect for how things happen naturally. I feel like we've got caught up in living in a very unnatural world. And we have to pay homage and respect to that which is natural. We really do. There is a difference in the development of the internal and external genitalia, however. For the internal genitalia, the fallopian tubes and ovaries are the sperm carrying ducts. The early embryo contains a precursor of both sexes. In the presence or absence of androgen, as one set develops, the other degenerates. With the external genitalia, the different organs of males and females develop along diverging lines from the same precursor. This means, in effect, that the clitoris and the penis are the same organ formed from the same tissue. There are a ton of pictures that you can Google online to see that. It's the same thing. The labia and the scrotum are one, indistinguishable in the early embryo stages. In the presence of androgen, the two lips simply grow longer, folded over, and fuse along the midline, forming the scrotal sac. Gowlett concluded, the female course of development is in a sense biologically to all mammals. It is a pattern that unfolds in the absence of any hormonal influence. The male route is a modification induced by the secretion of androgens from the developing testes. That's really interesting. That is interesting. And why do we not learn this in science class, by the way, or in sex ed class or whatever the hell that bullshit was in school? Don't tell us none of this stuff. And we wonder why we don't have respect for one another. It's let's learn about each other, because at the end of the day, we were all females. So where's the respect at? It's really weird. All right. The vulnerability of the male newcomer within the female environment is well known. Vaginal secretion are more destructive to the Y-bearing sperm. The mortality rate is higher among neonate and infant males. Within the womb, the male fetus for the first 2 months is protected by being virtually indistinguishable from a female. After that, it must produce large amounts of the masculinizing hormone in order to define itself as male, to achieve and to maintain its sexual identity. For all we know, the Near Eastern myths upon which our Western mythologies are built, those which portray the young god or hero battling against a female dragon, have some analog here in, I believe it's pronounced utero, which the male fetus wages a kind of chemical war against re-becoming female. Wow. So this is what a female that's in the womb that is transitioning into becoming a male counterpart has to go through. And this is all in the womb. Why we don't pay much homage to the womb blows my mind. There's so much that goes on within the female body that women who are pregnant, we shouldn't be stressing them out. They shouldn't be having to be at the stove cooking. There should be so much sacredness around a woman being pregnant due to all this stuff happening, but yet all the stress and all this stuff. And we wonder why we have all these chemical imbalances and all these problems is because we're not paying homage to the female. No woman should be working during this time frame. Women in ancient tribes, how they would figure out the name of the child is that a lot of them will go out into nature, meditate by a tree, and get a download of what the child should be called and what it should be named. This is a very sacred thing that we don't make sacred. We need to start making pregnancy more sacred. Okay. Other countries get it, being able to go on. I guess that's more like kind of a maternity leave. So that's after, but still, we need to make it sacred when the woman is pregnant. Men, you need to do a better job. If you got a female pregnant, make sure that her environment is sacred and safe so that child can develop properly versus having all this turmoil and y'all causing all this chaos towards her. Like, come on, man. This is why not everybody should be having kids. Because if you can't keep it sacred and make sure the environment for her is good, don't reproduce nothing. Don't reproduce anything. Because this is why our society is so jacked up, because we don't have this reverence right here. Okay, let's keep going. Why start going on a tangent? All right, for now, it is enough to say that maleness among mammals is not a primary state. Oh, Lord, here we go. Oh, this is some of y'all men about to be mad.
You mean Adam is not primary?
No, it's not. Okay, go ask Lilith. She'll tell you, but differentiates from the original female biochemistry and anatomy. The original libido of warm-blooded animals is female, And the male or maleness is a derivation from this primary female pattern. Why then did the medical men, the scientists, take longer to figure out this basic biological fact than it took them to split the atom? Oh, Lord. Okay, that's a mic check. Okay, you male scientists and medical men, what's up? What's Gucci? Okay? I hope y'all listening to this, because this is information that I know this ain't no way. All right. Okay, just needed to check something real quick. All right. And why, once this fact was noted, did they turn around and bury it in professional silence for 10 years until a woman dug it up again? Yo, do you understand why this is important? And why I have talked about in previous episodes about controlled narratives? Yo, this is why seeking knowledge is important, and why we have to relearn everything. The amount of stuff that's buried, guys. We only hit surface level information, which is why it calls for somebody that's deep to go into the deep to find it. Thank you, Mary, for finding this information so that we could know this. Because if it wasn't for her, we would not even know this today. And it's crazy because this information is still ignored today. I don't hear nobody talking about this right now. Nobody talking about this. And this is important. This is really important. And it's really important for men to see how important we are, because we have to fight in the womb to stay masculine. That's a big deal to me. So it's important for us to be masculine and be here for the females, man. Stop acting like little boys. And like I said, let me not get off on a tangent. All right. Why indeed? For about 2,000 years of Western history, female sexuality was denied. When it could not be denied, it was condemned as evil. The female was seen as divinely designed to be a passive vessel serving reproductive purposes only. In one not too ancient dictionary, clitoris was defined as the rudimentary organ, while masculinity equaled the cosmic generative force. With Freud, female sexuality was not so much rediscovered as pathologized. Good Lord. Freud dismissed the clitoris as an undeveloped masculine organ and define original libido as male. Wow. We just got done reading that the original libido was female. Okay. But yet we want to demonize female sexuality. Oh, you're a whore. Oh, for what? But it's okay for you to be one? It's okay for you to go ahead and have fun and stuff, but the original can't do it because you've been lied to by other men because they wanted to show dominance? Come on, man. Nah. Clitoral eroticism was reduced to a perverse neurosis. Even after Masters and Johnson laboratory studies were published in Human Sexuality Response in 1966, their findings were not integrated into psychochronological theory. I know I'm not saying that right. And it's so amazing because researching this stuff, it's one thing to write it down, but then trying to pronounce some of these scientific terminologies, no. Once again, we're not taught these words, right? It's like, how do we know? In the Mary Jane Scherfe's research, during that period, she found not one work of comparative anatomy that described or even mentioned the deeper lying clitoral structures, yet every other structure of the human body was described in living detail. Wow. Even today, with our relative sophistication compared to 1987, we are frequently whistled at by magazine headlines that promise breathless articles announcing the discovery of a new spot, a G-spot, an X-spot located within the vagina. Within all of these new spots exists the old wistful desire to deny the existence of the clitoris as a trigger organ of female orgasm. And why? Oh, I gotta take a drink for this next part. Love me some water. All right. There is this generalized traditional fear of female sexuality. Just got done just talking about that. Men, stop being afraid. It reminds me of, have you guys ever seen, oh my gosh, it's called How High, and it's with Redman and Method Man. And there's a part that Redman talks to this young college kid, and he's like, don't be scared. It's only pussy. Don't be scared. All right, okay, let's get into it. Further, there is discomfort with the similarity with the common origin of the female clitoris and the male penis. Women are used to hearing the clitoris described as an undeveloped penis. Men are not used to thinking of the penis as an overdeveloped clitoris. Finally, and most seriously, there is a profound psychological and institutional recurrence to face the repercussions of the fact that the female clitoris is the only organ in the human body whose purpose is exclusively that of erotic stimulation and release. Go, females. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you got. Naturally desiring for you. Okay, don't let these men fool you out here. Okay, which is probably why that boy, let me not. Probably why I don't know how to eat cookie right. Okay, let's continue. Hold on, see, I'm there. We go. Okay, no, I read that part already. Okay, so what does this mean? It means that the human female, alone among all Earth's life forms, sexuality and reproduction are not inseparable. It is the male penis, carrier of both semen and sexual response, that is procreative and erotic. If we wanted to reduce one of the sexes to a purely reproductive function on the basis of its anatomy, it would be the male sex that qualified for such a reduction, not the female, not the human female. But these are only biological facts. These are only biological realities. As we know, facts and realities can be and are systematically ignored in the service of established ideologies of religious beliefs. Yo. Earlier, we were just talking about how it's said in the Bible when it comes to having this fake persona of thinking that men were created first and women come from the rib of a man. Yo, that just makes no sense. And the fact that there are adults that are even far older than me that still believe that as it being a fact. with all this information I just read to you, with all this scientific terminology, y'all ain't never come across this? Seems like to me, some of y'all don't love women. Now, let's get back into, okay. Throughout the world today, virtually all religious, cultural, economic, and political institutions stand where they were built centuries ago on the solid foundation of an erroneous concept, which is really interesting. Just a simple fact that in 2024, that we have a constitution that wants to tell women what to do with bodies when it's actually their natural source-given right to do whatever they please with their bodies. Okay? Stop it. We need to stop this, man. This is unacceptable. And the older generation, y'all just, your time is coming to an end anyway. Everything is going to be redone, rearranged, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You just live the rest of your days in peace, because war is coming on life and the protection of life. So if you ain't ready for it, then you need to go sit down and go chill at the beach somewhere. A concept that assumes the psychic passivity, the creative, and the sexual secondariness of women. Okay, so women, naturally psychic, naturally creative. Good Lord. This enshrined concept states that men exist to create the human world while women exist to reproduce humans, period. If we argue that data exists, not solely biological, but an archaeological, mythological, and anthropological, and historical data which refutes the universality of the erroneous concept, we are told to shut up because something called God supports the erroneous concept, and that's all that matters. That's the final word. That is demonic. I'm going to say it one more time. That is demonic. Demon time. That's demon time shit. To say that some God that you can't even prove is the final word, demonic. Absolutely not. I wish I had a little button to go, wrong again. Now, throughout the world, throughout what we know of history, something called God has been used to support the denial, the condemning, and the mutilation of female sexuality, of the female sex, and ourselves. Today, in parts of Africa, predominantly among African Muslims, but also among African Christians and Jews, and some tribal beliefs, young girls are still subjected to this surgery, often performed by older women with broken glass or knives. Exists the clitoris, serving the nerves of this organism, which is freaking wild to me. But the operation is intended to force the girl to consecrate on her vagina as a reproductive vessel. A more thorough operation removes the labia and much of the labia majora. The girl is then closed up with thorns or required to lie with her legs tied together until her entire vaginal is infused shut. That is freaking wild. With a straw inserted to allow passage of urine and menstrual blood. On the wedding night, the young woman is slit open by a midwife or her husband, further cutting the reclosing and perform before or after childbirth. Crazy. Complications from these surgeries are numerous, including death, from infection, hemorrhage, ability to urinate, scar tissue, preventing dilation during labor, painful. Yo, this is insane. This is insane that men think this way and feel this way towards the female. It's really sad. And there ain't nobody out here trying to cancel, not trying to do anything for the females. We're doing everything for everything else. But the ones who really deserve our attention the most, silence, all in the name of a God or a belief. In 1976, an estimated 10 million women involved with this operation. That is, man, that so many things I want to say. But in something called God justified it, a God who supposedly created young girls as filthy sex maniacs who must then be mutilated to turn them into docile breeders. Men, for the real men, I really want to know what your thoughts are. And if you end up watching the video version of this podcast, definitely write in the comments. I'm very curious to know what some of the men think, because once again, we were once females in the womb, and the fact that we don't protect each other is insane to me. That is insanity, in my opinion, because we should be protecting the rights of every female, because we all came out the womb. And this is why I get on males the most, because we have to clear up the karma that has happened through the male lineage when it comes towards the female, because the dark masculinity, the toxic masculinity is not only within the males, but it's also within the females as well. And we need to do a lot of healing on that. And that's why I will be announcing a particular clearing ritual that's going to be based on healing from the dark patriarchal energy that we've all have encountered for over 3,000 years. It's really sad what other humans have been doing to other humans. And so we need to heal from that, clear all that old ass energy, and move forward. All right. The word infibulation comes from the Latin fibula, meaning clasp. Those civilized Romans, great highway builders, also invented the technology of fastening metal clasps through the precuss of young girls to enforce chastity. This practice was copied by Christian crusaders during the early Middle Ages in Europe. They locked up their wives and daughters in metal chastity belts and then took the keys with them while they were gone, often for many years fighting for God in the Northeast. Disgusting. Unless through hypocrisy and racism, we dismiss these practices as merely barbaric or ancient, we must recall that clitoridectomies were performed in the last century on young girls and women in both Europe and America. This surgery, very popular with the 19th century Victorians, was inflicted on many female considered to be oversexed, or as a punishment for masturbation, or as a cure for madness. No, what's madness is y'all doing this stuff to women. That's what's madness to me. That is just ridiculous. And this is really crazy, just going back and rereading this right now, because I wrote this back in like 2016. So to go back and reread this, I'm just like, this is crazy. This is nuts. Like, what? Oh my gosh. And I kid you not, like, a lot of this stuff, I don't even remember even writing most of this stuff. So that just goes to show you, like, I was in a zone when I was putting this book together, because wow. Like I said, it's one thing to look at something when you do it presently, and then years later you go back and reread it and you're like, holy cow, like this is so important to know all of this, because we need to be aware. And this is why I have my personal beef with religious ways of thinking when I go through history and I look at all this stuff. And yeah, it happened. And it happened because we were in the dark age. But that doesn't mean that it was okay to do any of this. And I have every right to be upset by this and to think that this is okay. Because, yeah, you wanted to erase stuff out of history. You're about to be erased out of history. That's going to be something that in this lifetime, most of you will see. Okay, these determinations were all made by male relatives, male physicians, and male clerks. And the women involved had no legal say in the matter. And this, you guys are doing this with these abortion laws. You're doing the same stuff, just in a different light. You're still trying to have women not have any say-so. Crazy. You guys are all sick. Every last one of y'all. These are extreme examples of the repression of mutilization. If I could really speak today. Oh my gosh. I feel like I cannot talk today. Jeez. I don't know why it always happens every time I end up reading stuff. I'm just like, man, why can I not talk today? So my apologies, people. Okay, let me go back. Okay, so these are extreme examples of the repression of mutilization of female sexuality, always sanctioned, however, remotely and dishonestly by something called God. All other repressions and mutilizations of the body, of the mind, of the soul, of our experience, female selves, are so well known and documented that the sexual homonization is almost exclusively the story of the human female. The mechanics and anatomy of male sexuality, after all, haven't changed greatly since the primates made love. You would think, really? The revolution in human sexuality, the revolution that made us human, resulted from evolutionary changes that occurred in the female body. These changes were not primarily related to the mammal reproduction, but to human sexual relationship. No one knows the order in which they occurred, but taken together as an evolved cluster of sexual characteristics, they constitute a truly radical sexual metamorphosis undergone by the human female. Okay, and we're going to stop right there. Wow, that was a lot to unpack, and me going back and rereading this and looking at this, I'm just like, wow, this is still happening today, and it's really wild to me and even sad to see that we're just going backwards. We have a small group that's going forward, and then we have this larger group that's going backwards. Now, we need to build up the smaller group to move forward and to progress in life, because this is the time frame that we're in. And this is why the US, the world, everywhere is going to get shaken up, because we have to move forward. It's very important for us to do that. With that being said, yeah, I want to thank you all for joining me on the Lucius Lyron podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please share it with friends and family. And don't forget to like and follow for more content like this. For more resources, you may check out our website at hotrs13.org. Once again, that is hotrs13.org. Until next time, keep making those small changes and watch how they add up to a more transformed life. I want you to stay inspired and growing. Join me again next time for more discussions on life, astrology, love, science, and spirituality with its connections to our daily lives. And remember to always live in power.